So today, as you noticed in the video, we're going to be covering some of the events that are unfolding in and around Israel. And we're going to be covering it from a biblical perspective. And I'm so grateful to have Pastor Don Finto joining us today. Yeah. Papa Don, as we affectionately call him, has written and taught extensively on this subject. He is the founder of Caleb Global, whose vision is to ignite revival in Israel and in the Middle East and the nations by training and sending missionaries to those regions of the world. Don has been an incredible friend and mentor to me and so many other pastors and leaders, not just in Nashville, but around the world. And he also serves as one of our advisory elders here at Grace Chapel. And church, one more time, can we make Don feel welcome? Can we thank him for joining us today? Yeah. So today we're gonna have a conversation about what's unfolding in the Middle East. And before I start drilling Don with questions, I just wanna make it crystal clear to everybody that the terrorist attack in Ra'im, Israel on October 7th, 2023 was an act of pure evil. Yeah. Opening fire on civilians at a music festival, taking civilians hostage. The atrocities that have been perpetrated by Hamas, who is without a doubt a terrorist organization, is just pure evil. And just at the outset, I wanna make it crystal clear that our church, without hesitation, we unequivocally stand with the people of Israel. We stand with the nation of Israel. We stand with the Jewish people. And if you're here and maybe you have questions about why that is, or if you're watching online and you're not sure why we would make such a drastic stance on this, hopefully today's conversation will shed some light on that. So, Don, first question for you. Why is this topic so important? Why is Israel so important? Why should we be paying attention to what's happening in and around Israel? Why does this matter?
You know, when we were talking about this, you can make a really long record, but what I'm realizing is that from the time God called Abraham, that would be through his family that the Redeemer of the world would come. Mm-hmm. Every demon in hell has been out to destroy Abraham and his descendants.
Yep.
And so the Abraham's descendants all the way through came down to David, then when Jesus came, but I mean, they tried to destroy the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the short version.
Yeah.
And when God spoke to, many of you know this, but when God spoke to Abraham, he said that they would be the host nation. Through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. And we still, the Isaiah 42:6 and 49:6 talk about Israel being a light to the nations. So every single Gentile who has ever come to faith has come to faith because back there somewhere, a Jewish person spoke to a Gentile. Because we Gentiles did not receive there is no passage of scripture anywhere in scripture that says that Gentiles are supposed to evangelize the world. It's not given to Gentiles, but it was given to Jews. But the Jews, Jesus said, you go disciple the nations and then teach them to do what I told you. So we Gentiles have a decree to evangelize the nations because we were given to it by Jews. Mm. And so there's just so much. And then the other thing is in that same, he said, I will bless those who bless you. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I believe one of the reasons I'm blessed, I believe you're blessed, is because we're blessing Israel.
Yeah.
We don't do it for that reason. But he also said, I'll curse those who curse you. And let me just give you one illustration of something happened. There's a passage in Joel also that says, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I'll put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. Mm. And let me tell you one thing that happened in our own history. George W. Bush, who was a really godly man in many ways, but he didn't understand this whole thing. And he pressured Ariel Sharon, who was the prime minister of Israel, and together they decided to dislodge, how did this whole thing in Gaza happen? To dislodge all the Jewish settlements in Gaza, because at that time Israel was in charge of Gaza. But they decided to dislodge all those settlements. There were rose gardens and synagogues and everything, and by force, the army went in there and dislodged them. This happened on April 15th, 2005. Let me tell you what happened. At that very time, Katrina was forming and the worst hurricane that at the time had ever hit American soil. Mm. And let me tell you what else happened. Ariel Sharon went into a coma 1 month later, or maybe 6 months later, and was in a coma for 8 years for the rest of his life. He never came out. They did this, and this is what happened. Mm. And there's a whole book written about when America makes decrees against Israel, then there is something that happens. I had read all this, and there was one time when Obama snubbed Netanyahu, and I said to Martha, watch out, there's something bad gonna happen. And within like a week, Joplin, Missouri was basically wiped off the map with a tornado. There's a correlation between what happens to us and how we treat Israel.
Wow.
And God is still in covenant with Israel.
Yes. Yeah, and the reality is, and some of us need to realize this, is the biblical story is the story of Israel. It's the story of the promise made to Abraham and the fulfillment of that promise. And the reality is, God delivered a Messiah to Israel. That Messiah lived and worked miracles in Israel, was crucified and buried in Israel, rose again and conquered death in Israel, and one day is going to return to Israel. So Israel is radically important as far as what it means to follow Jesus. We need to be aware, we need to be informed. This is incredibly important stuff. And the correlation between those who bless Israel and those who curse Israel,
yeah,
and the blessing and the pain that comes as a result of that is incredibly important.
Well, and the crazy thing is, we Gentiles are grafted into Israel.
Yes.
Hello, we're part of Israel.
Yes.
And yet the church came against Israel. They're coming against themselves when mm-hmm. they come against Israel, because we, in the Romans, the Romans 11 passage, and we've got those out there for you to pick up, but in the Romans 11 passage, it specifically says that Gentiles would be grafted into and share in the nourishing sap of the olive root. We don't replace, we're grafted into them. And so when we're coming against Israel, we're really coming against ourselves without realizing it,
mm-hmm.
because we all are now children of Abraham, Jews and Gentiles together.
Yes. And, yeah, and there is a movement within the modern church that it's called replacement theology. And it's this idea that Israel no longer matters, and now the church has become God's chosen people. But the thing that breaks that down is when you think about, I don't know much about gardening, but when you think about the idea of being grafted into something,
yeah,
right? It's not replacing something, it's being added to something that already exists
exactly.
and is already planted.
Yeah.
So we are added to the root that is yeah. That is Israel,
yeah,
right? So to not support Israel, like you're saying, is to come against ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I've been involved with Romans 11 for 30, 40 years, not until just about 2 or 3 months ago did I put together something that said, this is the chapter that could have changed world history if the church had believed it. Mm. If you'd believed only what's in Romans 11, it would have changed world history. Because, for example, verse 1 and 11 says, God did not reject Israel.
Yep.
And in the 29th verse, it says, the covenant with Israel is irrevocable. Mm. But the church fathers the church became the worst persecutors of the Jewish people.
Mm.
And in verses 11 and 30, I guess it is, The Gentiles were supposed to have lived in such a way to make Israel jealous for their own Messiah. And we didn't do that as a whole. I mean, we persecuted them. And then verses 30 says that just as you, Gentiles, were at one time disobedient to God, and you've now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, they didn't receive their own Messiah, so they now have become disobedient so that they now may receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. Hello, we're supposed to show mercy to, we're supposed to make them jealous, but we became the worst persecutors. I mean, if the people through the centuries had believed this, there wouldn't have been any Inquisition in 1492 when the so-called Christian king and queen evicted Jewish people and killed them and confiscated their wealth. There would have, who knows whether there would have been a Holocaust or not. If Christian Germany and Christian Austria and Christian Poland had believed the word of God.
Yeah.
But we didn't believe it. And so we become their worst persecutors. So now, I mean, in this present thing, I'm confident that Israel will prevail because we're not in Zechariah 14 yet, when all the nations turn against and Jesus comes back. But we love all the believers. The ones that are in Gaza, they're believers in Gaza.
Yep.
They're believers in Iran. Hello. Which is the worst terrorist nation, and yet it's the greatest revival that's going on in history right now. I read a 2-page article that Joel Rosenberg sent out that talked about, an Iranian imam, Muslim, was bemoaning the fact that inside Iran, there were 75,000 mosques in Iran. 50,000 of them have now been closed. Hello. Why? The imam couldn't figure it out. Why people are not going to the mosque anymore. I could have told him. They're coming to Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. So help us understand, because anytime there's news of conflict or something new unfolding in Israel, I think for a lot of us it can instantly bring up some fear or some wonder, and there's a lot of questions around it. So how is what's unfolding in Israel now, in Gaza now, how is this conflict different than other conflicts that have come before it?
Very good question. And I mean, Israel, these rockets have come by the thousands from Gaza. Ever since Israel gave Gaza back to themselves and came out of there, the rockets have been flying. But Israel has always been able, in a relatively short time, to bring peace. Mm-hmm. But this time, the thing that's really different is that there are hostages. And a mother and daughter were released, so we were told the other day.
Yep.
But you know what? They may be the only ones of the hostages that are still alive. I mean, all those hostages, we don't know whether they're alive or dead. I mean, we can't trust anything that comes from the Hamas. Hamas is demonic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's straight out of hell. Hamas is today's Hitler. I mean, and so that's one of the biggest things, and that's the reason why this war is going on so long, is because they're determined to try to save the hostages. They can't flood the tunnels with water because that may be where they're keeping the hostages. Mm. So there's going to be a land invasion. They keep saying they're going to be there, and thank God. You know, the reason why I'm confident that they will prevail ultimately is because we're not in the place where every nation turns against Jerusalem. But you know what? Because of that, I mean, we're dangerously close to that. And regardless of what else happened, I was really glad to see our president go right in the middle of this.
Yes.
And although he waffled some, he still expressed support.
Yes.
And then at least there's one nation that hadn't turned against Jerusalem.
Yep.
And then we found out that the Prime Minister of England went over. Hallelujah.
Yep.
There's at least two. I mean, we're not to that place yet, but I've been huge grieving, as you can imagine. I know the people. I mean, there's one of the fellows that we're strongest with is the rabbi in Ashdod, which is just right up from Gaza. And the first believing IDF soldier that was killed was a part of his flock. And now his two sons have been called up to reserve. 360,000 reservists have been called in. I was talking to Sarah the other day. Her husband and her two brothers were called up. This touches everybody. There's not a single family that this doesn't touch. Because when the war like this happens, then they're calling up all the reserves. But some of those people, I'm confident they'll prevail, but at what a cost. Yeah. They're telling many people are going to die.
Yeah.
And innocent people in Gaza will ultimately die as well.
Yes.
And Hamas, I mean, when that hospital was bombed, Hamas is still saying that Israel did it. Israel didn't do it. I mean, so many of the rockets that they launch land in Gaza because they don't know how they don't have the expertise to send them all the right places. Otherwise, Israel would be destroyed already if they knew how to do it well. Mm-hmm. Because there have been, my understanding is there have been about 5,000 rockets now in this area that have gone to Israel.
Wow.
I was there one time when one of those rockets was going off in Ashdod.
Mm.
And the Iron Dome knocked it out, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So Don, as you think about, you know, the events that need to transpire before Christ's return.
Yeah.
You know, when Ezekiel, in regard to these matters, Ezekiel 38 is an incredibly important chapter of the Bible to know and understand, especially the beginning verses, because it talks about Persia, which is modern day Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about Magog, which is believed, and there's good evidence that is Russia. And the events that need to transpire and when you think about the world events, you know, Iran is the primary funder of Hamas.
The worst terrorist nation and the greatest revival at the same time.
Right.
Light and darkness.
Right. And so there is a level of when Israel retaliates, it could draw Iran into the conflict, and Russia supports Iran, so that could draw Russia into the conflict. And so there are very real circumstances unfolding that could create the circumstances where every nation, like if the U.S. looks at the level of retaliation that comes from Israel, there is a very real possibility that the U.S. says, no, you're being too harsh, we're backing out.
Yeah.
Or there's things with our southern border where we go, we've got our own problems going on, you're on your own. So as you see some of these things unfolding, what must happen before the return of Christ?
Yeah. Well, let me mention one other thing about, there are two times in Zechariah, Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14, when every nation turns against Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, Israel is a victor in that. I mean, Jerusalem is victorious, mm-hmm. Judah is victorious in Zechariah 12. Mm-hmm. But in Zechariah 14, that's when the Lord comes back.
Mm.
And so we could see something and it still not be the end. But and in fact, Zechariah 12 says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding folks reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all nations of the earth are gathered against her, I'll make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. Mm. But Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. So there's two times I see when every nation. So I'm... Even if it did happen, my hope is, well, because not everything has happened, what you're talking about. I mean, the things, we're close. We're close for every nation turning against Jerusalem. You know that Obama and Biden both have waffled some, we could have a president easily. I mean, listen, one of the things that I'm realizing is we've probably seen or seeing the demise of America. We certainly are seeing the demise of America as a godly nation. I mean, and as a result of that, we've probably seen the demise of the real strength and maybe even world power of America. But listen, don't let that upset you too much because look at Iran, the worst terrorist nation in the world and the greatest revival. If we had a wicked government, who knows? It could be the biggest revival America ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to quit thinking in terms of what feels good to us
mm-hmm.
and think in terms of what's going to happen for the kingdom.
Yep.
But But as we look to what has to happen, as I see, there are three things that haven't yet happened. One is that all nations have to turn against Jerusalem, and it hasn't happened yet. The other is a very simple one, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to every ethnic group, and then the end will come. We know that the missions people are targeting the areas and the people groups that don't yet have the gospel, because that has to happen. And from what I'm gathering, the mission organizations believe that within like the next 10 years, it will happen, that there will be a people group in every nation of the world, so Matthew 24:14 could happen. And listen, when every nation turns against Jerusalem, that doesn't mean that the people in this room right now turn against Jerusalem. That we will have the strongest body of believers in those ethnic groups that have ever been there. That wheat and weeds thing, you know, the wheat are the righteous and the weeds are the wicked, and they grow together till the harvest. Mm-hmm. We're headed toward the most wicked generation and the most righteous generation at the same time. But the other thing that, as far as I can tell, I don't see any evidence yet of this happening, is 2 Thessalonians 2, which says, that day, when the Lord comes back, will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. He will exalt himself over everything that's called God, sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, that's hard for us to believe that anybody would do that. And yet, that's actually exactly what the Japanese emperor did in the last war. They had to worship him.
Yep.
You know, and if the right person came over as a caliphate of the Muslims in a way that could unite people, and I don't know how they'd ever have what kind of temple. If the Temple Institute in Jerusalem already has all the paraphernalia to go in the new temple, but I'm not helping rebuild that one because I think that's the Antichrist temple, whatever they're going to build up there. Mm. Jesus will build his own when he gets here, when he reigns from Jerusalem. Mm-mm. So that's the three things that I see.
Yeah, very helpful.
Yeah. All the nations turning, every ethnic group, but then the Antichrist.
Yep.
It seems he has to appear before the end.
Yeah, that's so incredibly helpful. Well, and the reality is too, between what happens and what unfolds in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39, what happens between there is the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's things that are that haven't unfolded yet that must before we see the return of Christ.
Yeah.
So how do we respond? Because there's reports, there's a whole lot of propaganda, but there's reports around just the atrocities that are being perpetrated on innocent people.
Yeah.
And so how does the church in America respond to what's happening in the Middle East in a Christ-like way, in a way that's pleasing to God? Because I think the temptation for some of us is to get extremely fearful.
Yeah.
I think another temptation is to be filled with rage and anger over what's happening, and anger is a right response to what's happening. But how do we view this? How do we respond to this in a Christ-like manner?
Well, first of all, obviously, we would pray for, the hostages I'll answer quickly and then just one of the passage that I went to. Because I sat in my house and I realized, you're in mourning. That's what's happening. Because your family is being killed and devastated. Because we all should feel, but I feel very close because I know so many of these people. And the passage that I landed on for prayer big time was the last verse in Hebrews 1, which says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent forth to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's an interesting passage. Mm-hmm. All angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to serve those who will inherit salvation. We know from Romans 11:26 that all Israel at some point will be saved. But there's a huge revival that's going on, so I'm told that there's, I won't say huge, but there's more people accepting the Lord inside Gaza than ever because they've been waffling, but this has turned them against Hamas and turned them openness, which is the same thing that's happening in Iran. They've seen the evils of Islam, and so they're more open to receiving the gospel. So we need to be praying for protection for those. And as you probably know, if you've been watching the news and what Yair told us, that Israel made phone calls and told the people to go south. But the Hamas has killed some of them that were trying to go south. And then Egypt, who is south, said, we're not receiving any of those people. Mm-hmm. So they can go south, but Egypt is not going to let them cross the border to go into Egypt. And so we need to be praying for protection over God's people. And then we need to be praying that the people of God that really are, for example, there are over 100 IDF soldiers that are believers. And we need to be praying that they will be so strong that other people will be drawn to faith as a result of who they are.
Yes.
And then even when people go into their bomb shelters, I mean, we were on a call with Yair the other day. When he was called into service, I mean, we were on a Zoom call, and he came on and said, guys, I've got to get off the call. I just got called up 10 minutes ago. I've got to go. So we stayed on the call for a little while, and there was another fellow in there. And within a few moments, he said, guys, I've got to go. We have to go to the bunker. So in the bunker, they're going to be believers and unbelievers. So one of my prayers is that there are going to be people come to faith inside the bunkers.
Yeah.
God's not going to, he's going to use this to draw more people to the kingdom. And this could, let's pray it. This could start a world revival. Mm. I mean, if all of a sudden people in Gaza by the thousands get saved, that could start a revival. So, but or if all of a sudden so many Israelis getting saved, I mean, they're right now ultra-Orthodox, sons and daughters of the ultra-Orthodox, the black hat people that are being saved. One of my close friends houses some of them and is teaching some of them that when they leave ultra-Orthodoxy, they're totally lost. They don't know how to do anything. The only thing they've ever done is read Torah. Mm. They don't know how to do anything. So they're getting into drugs and junk. But some of the people that I know are ministering to them and they're becoming strong men of God primarily. So we need to be praying for that. And then, I mean, the kinds of things, pray that the Israeli government will make the right decisions.
Yes.
Pray that the Israeli military will make the right decision. They'll go in when they're supposed to go in. And another thing that I heard the other day is that 80% of the people in Gaza do not want Hamas as their leader. But they elected Hamas when they were given free will, but they didn't realize what they were electing. Mm. So that's some of the kinds of things that we need to be praying for. But my prayer is for those angels to be released to those who will inherit salvation in Gaza, in Iran, in Israel, and that even angels will be seen in former wars that Israel has had. Sometimes people see things that aren't even there. The Syrians were coming across the Golan Heights and they saw so many tanks that they didn't keep going, but there weren't any tanks there. Mm. They saw what wasn't even there. So I believe God is, because they're his host people, he's not going to let Israel be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The you know, one of the things that, as you alluded to this, so 80% of the people in Gaza do not want Hamas there.
No.
And one of the things that's so, it's been confusing to watch, I don't know if you've seen this, but this last Wednesday, there was a very large pro-Palestinian protest that happened, and there was essentially an insurrection on the Capitol, and they overtook the first floor of an office building, the Cannon building in D.C., and they're holding a bunch of signs protesting against Israel, but the signs say, Free Palestine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the reality is they should say free Palestine from Hamas.
Exactly.
Not from Israel.
Yeah.
And so there's so much misinformation and propaganda out there that Hamas is just spouting. And what I'm seeing that's very concerning for me is the next generation just accepting it. So how do we respond? How do we deal with that sort of misinformation and movement that's happening in the next generation? How do we respond to that?
I mean, it's straight out of hell again.
Yeah.
I was shocked that CNN was reporting the whole horror that was happening. And, you know, the Hamas coming in and killing and maiming and beheading even babies and stuff like that. And they were reporting it accurately. But just watch. I mean, the major news media will they're already saying, but, you know, just hold back. Don't be, you know, be kind of soft on them.
To Israel.
We want Hamas decimated.
Yeah.
We want it totally destroyed. And God is into destroying Israel's enemies. And so if they don't destroy Hamas, there'll be rockets again.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a complete destruction. And yet that's why Yair says this is going to be a long war. I hate that word, but it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, but it will be. Yeah.
See, one of the things as I've been digging into this, because a lot of people look at, well, wasn't the land, you know, didn't it already belong to the Palestinians before 1948 and Israel came back and that was messy and all of this stuff? And the thing that we have to remember is that there are currently in the world, there are 22 Arab states.
Yeah.
There are 52 Islamic states, Islamic countries, 52. There is one Jewish state, one. And somehow that there are people in the world that look at Israel and say, well, Israel's the bully.
Yeah, well.
It is just mind-blowing.
Wow.
And that's the thing, when you look at why is Hamas so intent on destroying Israel? Can you, very quickly, can you help us understand biblically, what is the root of this issue? Where does this come back to?
I mean, it all comes back to the call of Abraham.
Yes,
it all comes back to the call of Israel. And see, just because Jesus has come doesn't mean God's finished with Israel. I mean, they're going to be the ones who are going to receive their own Messiah. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back to New York. He's coming back to Jerusalem, to his Jewish family. And so, it's a hellish kind of thing that's happening. But one of the things we have to realize is, and I just wrote down these two passages, in Genesis 15:18, when God was talking to Abraham, he says, to your descendants, I give this land. And then in 1 Chronicles, he says, God remembers his covenant, the covenant that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as your portion, as an everlasting covenant. Mm. That land has belonged to Israel when it was inhabited by others, but they got exiled because they weren't faithful. And, by the way, people say, well, this is not God that brought them back because they're not godly. Let me read you what Ezekiel says, because in Ezekiel 36, which is a good chapter for you to read, he's talking about that when he brings them back from all the countries, and anytime you have a scripture that says he's bringing back from plurality of countries like that, it's today. Because this is the first time that he's ever been brought back from north, south, east, and west. And there, you walk down Ben Yehuda Street, and there are people there from over 100 nations. And Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36, says that when I bring you back from the countries, that I'm going to take out of you a heart of stone, and I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to move you to do my will. Well, God says he's going to do that. And by the way, in Isaiah 62, verse 7, God says, talking to you here at Grace Chapel, he says, you who call upon the Lord, give yourselves no rest. Give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the whole world. God says, bug me about this.
Yep.
Rattle my cage. I want you to keep reminding me of what I said. Mm. And so, but people say, but listen to what he says in in verse 22 of Ezekiel 36. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. It will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. And then the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the Lord, when I prove myself through you holy before their eyes. Mm-hmm. The nations are going to see that I'm going to be faithful to you in spite of the fact that you weren't faithful to me. And so we can't say that just because they're not a godly nation yet, but they're going to be a godly nation.
That's right. That's right. So one of the things that's important for us to remember is the promise is given to Abraham, and then you have Isaac, the promised son, you have Ishmael.
Yeah.
And all the way back, so Islam comes to the line of Ishmael.
Yes.
And Judaism and Christianity comes through the line of Isaac, so the promised son. Yeah. And so you have this animosity that goes all the way back to Abraham's rejection of Ishmael.
Yeah.
And so it's what we need to understand is in Hamas's own words, their mission, that they have their own Hamas charter that was, I think it was established in 1988, I believe it was. And they specifically say their mission is to kill all Jews.
Yeah.
This isn't like made up. This isn't somebody else saying, they have said it. This is our goal. And what's amazing to me is the irony of a bunch of people spouting tolerance and yet they're supporting the most anti-Semitic, the most Satanistic movement that we've seen in our day. And they're going, we support Palestine, Hamas. Like it is just, it's mind blowing. And so we have to be informed about these things so we know how to pray. Don, last question for you today before we wrap up. There's a lot of information, a lot of things being said.
Yeah, let me tap into what you just said because what I realize in this Ishmael thing is that what we're seeing is this father wound. Mm. Because Ishmael was the favored son of Abraham until he was bar mitzvah age. And then when Isaac was born, he was sent away. He had a huge father wound. Mm. He had 12 sons. And that goes on down to them. And what we're seeing in the whole Islamic culture, which claims to be descended from Ishmael, is that it's this father wound times thousands, and they're angry at each other, they're angry and don't even know why. But it's this huge father wound that's gone down to Ishmael, to the descendants today.
And we're still seeing, generational wound that has been passed on.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of information, a lot to know, a lot to be aware of, a lot to keep up with. For the church today, what we've talked around it, but just for clarity's sake, what do we need to know and what do we need to do? What do we need to know? What do we need to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why, by the way, there's another passage. Let me just mention then go to this. I keep finding these passages like this, but the second sentence out of Isaiah 53 is, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? God has to reveal himself. So we want God revealed to the truth-seeking people everywhere. I'd go back to that, to the Romans 11. Let me just mention those things. I mean, there's a sheet back there, you can pick up this, but God hasn't rejected Israel. Gentiles are supposed to make them zealous. And Romans 11, verse 12 and 15, 12 says that if the Israel transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? In other words, when Israel starts really coming back to the Lord, and I think I said already that there's a Lifeway thing the other day said there are now a million Jewish people who believe in Jesus. But when they start coming, it releases riches to the whole world. And I just copied this from Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of 1855, in a volume of sermons, said that the day shall yet come when the Jews who were the first apostles to the Gentiles, the first missionaries to us who are far off, shall be gathered in again. See, people didn't think. And by the way, when Great Britain, after the First World War, they wanted to make a homeland for the Jewish people and the Balfour Declaration. But they were going to take all the East Bank and the West Bank, what's today Jordan, and the whole thing. We're going to give it back to the Jewish people. And of course, there was never a day before nor since that the United Nations would have agreed to establish a nation. But the Arabs raised such a hoorah that they gave the East Bank to what's today, to Transjordan, which is today Jordan. The rest of it on the other side was supposed to have all been belonging to Israel. But then the Arabs started the war in 1948, so they didn't have that. So we're talking about things that that have happened through the centuries. But when Jewish people start coming to faith, it will release that revival. And then Gentile believers, Romans 11 would have changed world history if we had simply believed it. And so let's keep our hearts pure. Let's not hate people, but let's hate evil.
Yeah.
And let's pray that evil will be eradicated everywhere God can eradicate it.
Yep.
And right now, because Hamas is the Hitler of our day that would destroy Israel if they were left alone, and the world presses are going to be turning against Israel, they always do. And so let's just keep our hearts pure and praying that those angels will surround every place they need, and that this war will be as short as it possibly could be in order to get the work done.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. So a couple things, and then we're gonna have Papa Don pray for us. So Don has written a great book. It's called Your People Shall Be My People. It is out in the lobby. And it's available to you. Don has generously made it available to you for free. If you'd like to make a donation, that'd be welcome as well.
It'd be much appreciated. We'll buy more books to give away. Yep. We don't sell books, we give them away.
The other thing, Don has put together a paper out there that has a host of scriptures on it specifically dealing with some of the things that we've talked about today. And so feel free to grab that on your way out if you want to dig into some of these a little bit more on your own. I'm going to ask Don to pray for us. The worship team is going to come back out in a moment, and we're just going to declare something, that this battle ultimately belongs to God.
Amen.
God is in control. God is in charge. His will be accomplished. And for that reason, we can be hopeful in the midst of things that seem bleak and things that we would rather not be happening. So,
amen.
Don, would you pray for us?
Yeah. Whoops. Take that. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We praise you. We honor you, Lord, King of Heaven. We've worshiped you. Thank you for the worship this morning. Just constantly holding you up. May your kingdom come and your will be done in everywhere, Lord, in Iran, in Gaza, in Israel, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Iraq. May your kingdom come, Lord, and it will in all these nations. And thank you for this people of God that are pressing into you, Lord. And I just pray that every single heart here will press in more of Jesus, that we'll get so full of him that we'll continue to agree with him on what he needs to do in this day. Mm-hmm. Where two or three of us agree together, it'll be done. Mm-hmm. And we just, so may the Lord give revelation to you on how to move forward. May you carry this in your heart, this love for Israel, because you're part of Israel now.
Yes.
And may the Lord even give all of us wisdom on how to say, when to say, how to talk about it, how, when not to talk about it. And may we spread the message of the good news of Jesus, and may you be a part of it here in the Nashville area, but all around the world where people that are here are scattered. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And I'll just pray that benediction that God himself spoke over us. So may the Lord as only he can do. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. I always think you need to be kept. May the Lord make his face shine on you. Get close enough to him that you become radiant. May the Lord and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Tzar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Don. Amen. Church, let's stand and worship together.